Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of the neck of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know it in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice altogether shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Amen. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, I've read the back of the book and we win.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, when you know that, it's like the enemy thinks he's playing hide and seek with us. It's like he's hiding behind the ear here and there. But it's like we know he's there. And it's like, what now? It's, you know, there's nothing new. Nothing new. He can't do anything new. We've already won.
Would you just stretch your faith this way and pray for me? I would so much appreciate it. Father, I just worship you. I thank you for Christ, his shed blood, and all that he's provided. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth. Your word is truth. I thank you for these who love you and separated themselves for the call, for the purpose of finding out what you have for them in this life and pursuing it with everything inside of them, beginning first with that call to Christ. So, Father, I bless them as they bless me. I ask you to anoint my spirit, my mind, my body, all things for your purpose. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you. He wants to talk to you tonight about the secret. And we're going to turn to a number of scriptures. And the first place that we're going to turn to is a familiar place, is Psalms 91. So why don't you turn there with me? I'd had something going over my spirit the last little bit. I don't know when it started, say in a matter of days or a week. And the secret kept coming up. And, of course, these are familiar portions of scriptures to many of us, and we've read them before, and it's not going to take but a few moments for me to read these 16 verses. But actually, then we're going to go to some scripture in the New. But we're going to start by describing or reading concerning the secret place. Now, we're going to make a distinction here between the secret place and the secret. because they are two different things. The secret is in the secret place. By going to the secret place, you do get the secret. But what David is describing here is really the coining of what the secret is, which we'll find out in the New Testament. The whole mystery is Christ. That's the whole mystery. But so we don't get ahead of ourselves, let's read this. And you follow along with me, and I'll read it out loud because the word always bears repeating. He that dwelleth in the secret place, and that word secret means covering here, just means a covering place, which is wonderful. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. Now, this is all part of everything the secret is. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now God prophesies. God speaks. The psalmist is speaking by revelation. Now God speaks back. And He says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. So He's describing there our inheritance. That's part of the secret. Now let's turn to Colossians 1. Hallelujah. How many just love His Word? Now this really, in all essence, coins the secret. And when I say the secret, and it's going to begin to all the more become part of every part of everything that we're saying here, and the Holy Spirit will begin to pull all this together as we go along. But the word mystery, of course, in the New Testament, when the word is talking about mysteries, it's talking about the secret. It's one and the same. It's the word secret, the word mystery. But in verse 25, the Bible says here, by Paul writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery or the secret, which has been hid from ages and from generations, meaning from the very beginning, but now is manifest to His saints. Now, what is that secret? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery or secret among the Gentiles, which, and he just gets real emphatic so that there's no far-reaching mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So this is it. I mean, this is the whole thing. In fact, what he's really saying there, if you catch it, is this is the whole mystery of all the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, a friend of mine, or Pastor Dave, says he calls it the born-again trail. But however you term it, the whole mystery of the whole Word, from the garden to the apocalypse, which is the book of Revelation, it's all one mystery. And really it coins down, it comes down to this, which Paul said, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, 39 books of the old was talking about his forecoming, and everything was a shadow, and even the word says all these things happened to them as an example. It happened as an example so that we could look forward to Christ coming. And now we look back in the 27 books of the new, and every mystery is in him. It all starts with him. You may get colorations, you may get mysteries of your inheritance and your revelation of your healing, your emotional healing, your healing for your family, your marriage, but everything comes, and you could look at this and say, oh, that's it. I mean, okay, I mentally ascend to that this is the whole thing. This is the secret. This is the whole secret of the Word. Yes, it is. The whole secret of the Word is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery that he said was hid, and now it's become alive in Christ. We understand what that mystery is. But that mystery is not realized, listen to me, it's not realized with the mind. It's realized by revelation knowledge through the Spirit. In other words, if a person just says, okay, I got that, let's move on, they haven't got to first base. Because your whole life in Christendom, your whole life is this: going into this mystery, not with the mind, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, and asking God to reveal to you who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now that comes first to you as he's presented, and then in you, and then your whole life, your whole ministry, your whole call is predicated on what you see as you walk into him, as you spend time in his word, as you spend time in his presence, as you spend time in mystery or intimacy, receiving the mysteries of God. And it's all this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the more you're able to see him, this mystery of everything that he is, it's here, but we don't even take the tab off of it by mentally ascending and say, okay, I see, that is Christ. He's the centerpiece. Now, from there, you step over into a whole life of pursuing that mystery and saying, God, reveal to me on my walk into the kingdom everything that he is to me, in me, and through me. This is the whole duty of man. It's to get to know God and let Jesus Christ become truly not only Savior, but Lord. I didn't know Candy was going to start tonight with the verses that she started with, but it's always confirming. All of our services just confirm everything from the back to the front, to the back, front to the back. When she began to read out of Isaiah, awake, awake. And see, this is what he's also saying in what we're presenting here tonight. So let's turn to our awakened scriptures, which would be in Ephesians, and read what we've read a whole lot last year. Ephesians 5:14. Paul says here, and we covered this a whole lot last year, he says in 14, he says, writing to the church, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The secret of who Christ is, living on the inside of this mystery, is really predicated, it's based on your enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. It's predicated on, based on how awake that you are spiritually. When you're awakened spiritually, and Paul was writing this to the brethren, and he was saying, wake up. When you wake up, see, if you're not awakened by the mystery, if the secret is not alive on the inside of you, the secret can be depressed by a number of different ways. If you're fighting a battle to the level, I think we mentioned Sunday, trying to keep your head above water. The awakened part of your senses, in other words, knowing in every situation in life, having stepped into the mystery of who He is, having an insight. See, this is the mystery. This is the secret. He wants you and I living in a place where everything in this life is seen with a view, a bent, a disposition, a reason, an understanding that, first, the world doesn't have. Secondly, your Christian brothers don't have if they are depressed. What wakens you is intimacy. That wakens your spiritual senses. But what will put you to sleep is a number of things. The flesh will put you to sleep. If you're living too close to the world, the flesh will put you to sleep. And God's just going right by you. And there's a secret going on. And you don't get the secret. And in fact, the world sees problems totally different than we see them. In fact, the world doesn't even, when the world is presenting something to you, they're not even presenting the problem as it is. They're presenting the superficial things. And if they don't even know the problem, they sure don't even know the answer to fix it. And I'm not just talking about the blatancy of Christ. I'm talking about a mind of Christ that says, this is how you fix this problem. The world can't see that. Your Christian brother or me can't see that if I'm put to sleep by the cares of this world. If I allow cares to continually wash over me, it puts me to sleep so that when I face something, I'm not facing it from an awakened position. I'm facing it from a lethargy, put to sleep, lullabied through the cares of this world, the flesh, so much so that the secret, the mystery of who Christ is. See, it's not just knowing that He is our Savior. Once you step over into Him, He's got a mind on everything. He's got a mind on everything. I love talking to you. I love talking to people that know the secret. Because from the get-go, when you talk, even when you're explaining something out there, I know you're going someplace with it that you're not thinking inside the box. You're thinking outside in a mystery that everything the Word says. Because if you receive what the enemy says or the world says, and you go with that, and if you even try to work it out based on what the enemy has said the problem is, you're already going the wrong direction. Redefine. When the enemy comes at you and you feel overwhelmed with the situation, the first thing is you've got to redefine what the real problem is. It's not what the enemy says it is. It's not what the atmosphere says it is. It's not what the lack says it is. It's not anything that is of the natural. And so the wonderful thing is we can go to the secret place, but inside the secret place, there's the secret. And the secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, you've got to find out what that is, but praise God for the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and intimacy, pure intimacy in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you having a good time? When we say awake, we're talking about an insight, a focus, a view, an understanding, a mindset. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalms, the 25th chapter. Still talking about the secret. Everybody say, I know the secret. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this place here. Psalms 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Okay, He just told you everything right there. Are you listening? Are you reading? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will do what? Show them His covenant. Now, He's talking about, if you just really want to know, He's talking about an inside place here. And I love this word secret here, because this is not Psalm 91 secret. Different word. That word about the secret place is the word covering. This word in the Hebrew is the word session, to have a session. That's the first word. A company of a person in close deliberation, tending to or giving itself to intimacy. Hallelujah. That says it all right there. In the secret place, in the intimacy, there is a secret that He cannot give the world, and He cannot give in any other way except through intimacy. Now, the secret of the Lord, in other words, we're in this world and we're working in this world. All of you are out there working. I'm here. Then we get together. On the concourse of things going and coming, we're either going to live, we've got to live in a flesh suit, and we've got to work, and we've got to pay our bills, and we've got to raise our kids. But what He is saying here is, inside of all of that, in a secret which is given, Hebrew, look it up, in parentheses it says session, company of a person in close deliberation, and then it says tending to or given to intimacy. Close quarters with the Holy Spirit in Christ brings you to a place where that on the inside, you sit down in a room and you hear somebody talking and they're describing something. You hear your brother talking and they're describing something. You hear your sister talking, they're describing something. They're going through something. You may be going through something. But when you're in the secret, now there's the covering, which is Psalms 91. That's a secret place. I can go into that covering. But if I'm going to stay in that covering, through intimacy, I receive a secret, which means the mystery of Christ and everything He is becomes to dawn on me. In other words, I wake up. I don't see things like the guy that's asleep. I don't see things like the person who cannot understand why they're on a continual cycle of things not changing. Because the wisdom of God begins to say, wait a minute, this is outside of anything I've been thinking. And when I hear Him up there, when religion is talking, God bless him, it's the old Charlie Brown thing. It goes right back to the teacher talking. Why? You know Charlie Brown? Some of you too young. It's like, you know, they're listening up there, but it just, why? They're not listening to the secret. They don't have the secret in them. Proverbs 3. Let's see, where is this? It is verse 32. The King James says, for the froward is a, that's perverse. For the perverse is an abomination to the Lord. But again, the same word in the Hebrew, his secret is with who? The righteous. That word in Psalms is a precious word because it talks about stepping into his covering. Psalms 91. This is not that. That's a different word. This is the word which means a secret given out of intimacy. He says a secret is given to the righteous. Well, the whole body of Christ is righteous. That's true. But not the whole body of Christ is walking around with the secret inside of them. Because the secret he's talking about comes, evidently it's something that comes from intimacy and from close, the Hebrew says, close deliberation. In other words, deliberation is a continual explaining place because you and I are talking. There's a deliberation coming so that I walk away and I know we've communicated. I know that when I see you without words, the agreement that Marsh and I had, or the thing that was, you know, that we expressed and we got straightened out or we figured out together and how to approach this problem, when I see her again, I don't have to go through that. Close deliberation put a secret inside of us. We knew what we were going to do. We knew how we were going to fix it. We knew where we were going. That secret is with the righteous. And that secret comes through close deliberation. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not surface material. It's very sensitive. Hallelujah. Have you ever sat down in a room and heard a whole bunch of people talking and you knew that their conversation was so, it was just, you weren't even trying. You were like, oh God, I don't want to judge nobody. I just want to be a, you know, just a fly on the wall. And you knew by their deliberation there was no secret inside of them. You knew that by what they were saying, they didn't really, God bless them, they didn't have a clue. They had no clue. Not only of the problem, but how to fix the problem. I'm glad. Are you glad? Let me just give you a quick example. Just like, how does this work? I think we covered this one time before in an exhortation. But I want to show you in the life of Jesus. Here's a man who's never been more alive. Okay? We sing that song. He's awake. How much of me is causing me problems? I don't know. That's the part of me that I'm still snoring spiritually. Now, you're going to have some attack no matter what. Jesus did, and he was totally awake. But I want to wake up the parts of my senses that I'm not seeing and then being blindsided by. But let me give you an example. Let him give you an example. Let's turn to John chapter 7. Are you still with me? Thank you. Here's Jesus. Never been a man more alive. He's awake. His senses are awake. The secret is awakened inside of him. He's always walking around. If there's anything I want to get over to you tonight, is the secret is, it really is an inside thing. There are no cliques as per se in Christ. This is a equal opportunity employer. That he's not an employer. This is an equal opportunity family. Okay? It's for everybody. But when you join yourself to intimacy, when you join yourself to deliberation, you receive something. And it's so neat, as I said before, it's so neat to talk to you. It's so neat to talk to somebody that's woke up. I talk to people a lot of times, and I can tell. And you know what? You know what the sad thing is? And you know this. Until a person wakes up, you can't wake them up. You can sow some seed to wake them up, but until the alarm clock goes off and something on the inside snaps and say, oh, I see that. Okay, I see that. But until they get the secret, you can't make them get the secret. They'll just get mad at you. They'll just get mad. But Jesus always walked around in the mystery, the secret, because God said in Psalms and Proverbs, his secret is with the righteous. How many of you know Jesus was very righteous? In other words, he saw past everything. John 7 says this. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry among the Jews, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews, this is another uprising. He's always having to evade these things until the time comes. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, and his brethren, that's his actual, it's not his blood, but his earthborn brothers, and sisters, could have been, but it says specifically brethren, therefore said unto him, so there was, by the time Jesus is 30, there's James, there's Judas, which is Jude, there's a few more, there's like four or five of them that we know by the word. And the word says here, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judah, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. I didn't really try to use that word here, but it works out well, because the secret they're talking about is not the secret that Jesus is walking in. He's walking in the secret of his Father. He says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. For thou, if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For, and it explains the reason why they said this, for neither did his brethren believe in him. So the crowds didn't believe in him. His earthborn brothers didn't believe in him. And they're trying to solicit him into activating his ministry. He's already, by here, he's turned the water into wine. He's starting his ministry. Miracles are taking place. And his brethren try to say, look, you know, there's probably some jealousy there. And there's disbelief. The word says they didn't believe. But they use this. They say, look, promote yourself. If you really are who you say you are, nobody does anything in secret that is anything. And if you've got a real agenda to fulfill, then go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. Let us see it. In other words, we want to see it too. That's what they were asking. They were really, it was very selfish. They were saying, go out there among the crowd, show yourself and perform so that you prove who you are and we believe also. So that's the essence of what they were saying. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time, he's speaking to them, is always ready. The world cannot hate me, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time, and he reiterates, my time is not yet full come. And then right after this, it says, when they departed, then he left and went up after them. The amazing part is this, what Jesus said to them. We'll read it again, so we'll try to get you to catch it. My time is not yet come, but your time is already. What he was saying is this, and this is just an example, and this is where we're supposed to walk, okay, in everything in life. He sees the cover. He sees past the cover. Now, nobody has perfected this, and I'm far from it. But this is where the secret takes you. He walks around in a earth suit, but does not look at anything on face value. They say, come out, perform miracles, and prove yourself. Jesus said, my time... The verses just earlier that is also a key to that. It says that the Jews were seeking again. This goes back to some other verses we just broke a couple weeks ago. The Jews were wanting to kill him. They were wanting to kill him. They were wanting to murder him. And he says, my time has not yet come. But your time is always or already. In other words, he was saying, the Jews that are seeking to kill me, they're going to kill me in that time. But that time will come when the Father will have launched me fully into the full-blown ministry, which will bring about my destruction. It will bring about, my time will come. It will bring about my death, which will be a sacrifice to the Father. My time's not yet come. But your time, in other words, he was speaking to those brothers of his that were not yet born again, and nobody was. He's the only man on planet Earth. Talk about feel alone. Have you ever felt alone? Yeah. But Jesus, one guy, one born again spirit on planet Earth.
He says, my time's not yet come, but yours is always. Meaning this, I live inside destiny because I'm born again, or I have the born again nature. And because I live inside of destiny, I have this secret inside of me that says, look, I'm not going to move on what you say. Launch past the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Bring about anything that's not my Father's will, because I'm not ready to be killed yet. But yours is always. In other words, what he was saying is, I live in destiny. I live inside the secret. You live outside of destiny. For the time being, you are always a victim of the circumstances of whatever. In other words, until you, my brethren, get born again, you're still living in the vacuum of your time always. It could always happen to you. It could always culminate that you could be destroyed. But I'm not going to be destroyed until my 3.5 years are up. This is the beginning of his ministry. I'm not going to be destroyed. And the reason being is I look into everything in the vision of my Father, the secret of my Father. I'm inside this destiny. You're outside of it, yes. You need to go and do and be and whatever you need to be, because your time's always. You're always in jeopardy, in essence, but not me. That's the mind of Christ. But he saw that. How many are glad that you have the mind of Christ for 2011? For everything. You should see past. If you wait, the secret place is on the inside of you, or the secret's on the inside of you. If what comes to you tomorrow in argument or a desperation or in a testimony against the truth, if the first place that you respond to is that secret, in that place of intimacy, the first thing that it will do is this. It will redefine the problem. Redefining the problem is the answer. Because the Holy Spirit takes you past what is being presented to you. And once you can see past what is being presented to you as the problem and see that there are things that need to take place, first and foremost, in how you respond in your faith. The whole deliberation or the whole onset of victory is how you respond initially in your faith. Now, you can always fix it. You can always get under the blood. Let's turn to one other place, Song of Solomon. We were there a few weeks ago. That's just past Ecclesiastes. I was in there yesterday and again today, and I don't count myself as a master of this book. I'm just making some broad strokes of the brush in it. But I do hear him speaking. How many of you having a good time? See, he wants you, if you're living out, if he says in his word, and there was other places that it talks about, I'd look up the word secret if you want to go to a good word study. But the interesting part to me was this, is that Psalms 91 was a covering. The secret that he gives you is a place of intimacy. It comes out of that covering. But here's the amazing part to me. Once we go into this mind that is living inside of us, now we can divorce ourselves from it and we can live asleep. But when we wake up and listen, then everything that the Holy Spirit has for us to fulfill our ministry comes online. I was riding down the road the other day, and I didn't even think of this being spiritual, and I didn't even think about it, and I don't know if it was or not, or if the Holy Spirit's just using it as an example to me. But Candy and I didn't even say anything to her. Candy and I were listening to something. We were listening to a song on the radio, and for whatever reason, now I'm not a musician. I can't play anything. I love music. I do sing, but when I listen to music, I just listen to the music. I don't know if that makes sense. I just listen to the whole thing. I was riding along, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but very distinctly, I began to hear all the different parts. Now, this would be real easy for, you know, Harry or, I mean, Matt plays a little strum some, and different ones of you play or whatever. I never listened to all the different parts. I just listened to the whole tune. I mean, if it pats my foot, that's good, you know. But all of a sudden, I could hear, it was real easy for me at that moment of time, I could hear the drums individually, and then I could switch and I could hear the bass, and then there was a guitar I could hear. It wasn't a lead, it was just a rhythm, and then there was a piano, and I could, and when I focused on those parts, and just, this all happened in just a minute or two, when I focused on those parts, it seemed like all of the other instruments faded out. I mean, that was, it was like, wow, I can hear that. That's really, really loud now. I can hear it because I was listening to it and focusing on that. The bass, for whatever time I was listening to the bass, it sounded like the loudest instrument in the whole band. But when I faded back out of it, I could just hear the whole music again. Then I could, it's like I stepped into the song, and then I could hear the drums, and the drums seemed to be the loudest part of the whole music. But it, when I faded back out, I could hear them coinciding in harmony with everything. It was pretty neat. And then the guitar and the piano. What are you saying that for? I'm saying this. The secret inside of you does this. Walking with the Holy Spirit in intimacy causes you to step in to situations and events and surroundings. And this is absolutely important for revival. So that everything is just not a mystery in itself. It's not just one big, it's not a conglomeration. You see with the mind of Christ. You're able to see each situation in the wisdom and the understanding in which God gives you as an individual. And when you do that, then the Holy Spirit is able to anoint you for service to the measure that whatever your call is, if you're called in the fivefold, that's for the perfecting of the saints. If you're called to the ministry gifts, which is helps in governments, that's to the building up or the ministry to the body. If you're called to that third classification of the operations, which is edification, everything that you see inside of the secret becomes defined for you. In other words, a man that finds a chunk of gold, if he's called or she's called to the ministry of helps, when they find that chunk of gold in the field, per se, like, wow, I can make a bunch of money with this. You know what that means to them? You know where their heart goes with that? Their heart goes with that. Instead of picking it up and saying, wow, hide this. This is a money-making machine for me. Their thoughts in seeing the individuality of the secret inside of them, which is the call, they pick that gold up and say, wow, this is going to make the kingdom a whole lot of money. These investments are going to make the kingdom a whole lot of money. This is going to be a whole lot. When the edification gift, which is the building and the praying up of tongues, goes into intercession, that person knows this. Wow, I'm not just riding on cloud 11. I didn't just go into the glory so I can just ride around and just absolutely, yes, and feel the euphoria of God. But everything goes into that place where the secret inside of you defines that. And you're not just hearing the drums along with everything. You're hearing that part of you that says, wow, what did I go into edification for today, or intercession for today? I went in, evidently, because I'm a piece to the puzzle to causing revival. I'm called to revival. I'm called to, this must be praying for other people in the body of Christ. This must be building this up. It's not just for me. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 2. Again, this is the most beautiful, intimate love story. This is Jesus in the church. It's very saucy. I like it. I love it. It's very intimate. Starts out in chapter 1, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. beautiful things said here. But let's look at chapter 2. It says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. How many are glad? His banner over us is love. Stay with me, flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. How many of you are so head over heels in love with Jesus and you want more? You just want more. You just want more, more, more. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about there is different places here in this. And I said, I have not mastered it, but I love what I'm seeing is Jesus presenting himself, but not wholly presenting himself at times. Although you see this intimate love affair with the church, but at times there's a place where Christ comes, presents himself for an appetite. Did you hear me? He presents himself to see if you will go into the secret place with him so you can get the secret. Because if you say no, it's okay. He loves you. His blood was shed for you. You get to go to heaven if you say, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. You just don't know the secret. You know why? Because you go to sleep. And you live your whole life for yourself. When you find the chunk of gold, it's yours. When you get blessed, it's not for... When you as a fivefold minister, you're thinking, this is all about me. I'm a spiritual gift to the church. That's not right. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about each other in Christ. It's the revelation of who he is. And the word says here, he showed himself through the lattice. It's not a total open appearance, but he's behind the lattice work. He's inviting us, come in, follow me. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle or turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, it's okay, go ahead and turn it off. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Look at verse 14. O my dove, that art in the cleft of the rock. That cleft is a secret place. And then he says, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. I want to read verse 14 again, but if we understand this, and I can promise you this, this is the most beautiful love affair of intimacy. You want to talk about sloppy, beautiful sloppy love in a good sense of the word. This is a sick, a good sick, not a unhealthy sick. I just love him. I can't get enough of him. I want to follow him. All else doesn't matter. In light of him, forsaking all, getting desperate for him. And he's describing this, she being the in the natural, the Shulamite bride, and Solomon being representation of the body of or Christ himself. And it says here again in 14, O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And in just a moment, we'll read about the foxes and close. But here's the amazing part to me. When the Holy Spirit spoke to me today, and I'd read this a little while ago, and something jumped out to me among the words here. And again, here's this word, secret. But he said, in the secret places, and I think the word places, let me look back. I think it's italicized. But it says, in the secret of the stairs. What's the secret of the stairs? The secret of the stairs is this. And again, I'm painting broad strokes. But if He's brought us into His banqueting house, and His banner over us is love. One thing I do know is that the stairs are steps and they're ascensions into Him, going into Him. It is a path into Him. I love the way Pastor Dave says it. He goes, the miracle, the path to the miracle is just as miraculous as the miracle itself. The secret is in the steps. The secret is in the stairs. If there's a bridal chamber up there and I'm walking up these stairs, as I follow Him, the secret keeps coming to me. I'm living inside the secret. If He's up there and He's calling me, come away to this bridal chamber. And every time I step on a step and I'm ascending this path, which is miraculous, gets sweeter, it gets more enlightening. I understand more than I've understood. It's not pride, it's not arrogance, it's just the secret is building inside of me. And He said, the secret is in the stairs. Oh my God. The secret's in the path. It's in the ascension. It's in the intimacy. It's in the fellowship. And He goes, let's, and now I'm paraphrasing, but let's take hold. The bloom, the Hebrew says the bloom is on the vine for the grapes. Let's take hold. Let's catch the foxes that destroy. Whatever the little foxes, it says, whatever could hinder this vineyard celebration, me coming into the vineyard of your love, these small foxes, which are things that people that are awake or people that are asleep in the church, they don't catch. I don't know why I can't get free. There's no condemnation. It's the small foxes that are just devouring your life. But in the ascension, in the stairs, and going up into this place of intimacy, there's also an empowerment that says inside of you that says, look, nothing stands in His way. And you'll show me how to catch everything in my life. I'm not witch hunting. I'm not condemning. In fact, the more freer you get to judge yourself, it's like you forget to be careful anymore. You forget condemnation. You just love Him, and whatever He says to you makes you freer. But I love that. I love knowing that the path that I'm on, the stair, I'm looking up into this beautiful staircase. It's a spiral. Up there He is. There's a beautiful place of intimacy up there. But before I get there, every step has a secret in it. Praise God. Every step has an intimacy in it. It has a fellowship. It has an imparture to me that says, come higher because you're wakening up. You're wake up. We're wakening up. Okay. Wow. Oh my God. What is this? I pacified this for years. This little guy, I carried him around in my pocket. This little small fox. He's been eating my grapes for years. But the last step I took in the ascension told me, you're there. Oh, you're there. You escaped the last, couple of years of fasting and prayer. Come here. Because I'm casting you out of the vineyard. You don't get to stay. You don't get to stay. Hallelujah to God. Just let it sink in you. Father, I love you. We're going in where you've asked us to go. And that place is asking us to take another step. I don't know what the next step is, Father, except you show me. I know it's a staircase going up. It's asking me to come higher. It's asking these. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. And I thank you, Lord, that we've not joined a club. We've not joined a inner circle of a clique. We have joined the family. But inside the family, there is an intimate secret. And that is Christ in us, the hope of glory. I speak life to these. I pray the word will sink down deep in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit will preserve that word. And mostly, the invitation of intimacy. Mostly the invitation. And, oh, Father, I'm reminded there is one that prays for us with the mysteries, the divine secrets, and opens up our hearts to see where the foxes are and to see how to climb this staircase. I speak life and blessings over my brothers, my sisters. I bless this offering in the name of Jesus. I commit them unto you until we see them again. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.